Enjoy the book of Proverbs very much. I know you do too. By the way, a proverb a day will keep the devil away. Amen. You want a good rule of Bible reading. Maybe you're new to Bible reading. Whatever day it is, if it's today's August 28th, read the 28th chapter of Proverbs. Amen. Tomorrow, read the 29th. It often compares, and it did in our text, the wise and the foolish, the righteous and the wicked, one that endures reproof and one that's a scorner, a worker and a lazy person. Here in our text, God, the Holy Spirit, through Solomon, mentions the heart 6 times. If you look at verse number 7, it says, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so." Down to verse 11, "Hell and destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men." Verse 13, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." Verse 14, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge." Verse 15, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is a merry heart hath a continual feast." By the way, God sees and knows the thoughts and intents of the heart, Hebrews 4:12 tells us. Now, when the Bible speaks of the heart, it's not speaking of the muscle that pumps the blood. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines the heart as the seat of understanding, the seat of the will, hence secret purposes, intentions, and designs. If I could give you the RAZ version definition, the mind, the inner part of you, the place where you make your decisions. It is the heart that the Bible says, "For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies." Jeremiah 17:10 says the heart is deceitful above all things. That's certainly not talking about the muscle. Amen. James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." 1 Samuel 16:7, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord seeth on the heart." Amen. Isaiah 29:13, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draweth near to me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me." Genesis 6:5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart were evil continually." Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." That's the heart that the Lord Jesus is referring to and speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is talking about here in the book of Proverbs. It's the innermost part of you. It's the real you. Today, many live with physical heart trouble. 2004 statistics, always hard to get statistics on medical issues, but 2004, listen to these statistics. Coronary heart disease is the single leading cause of death in America. Coronary heart diseases causes heart attack and angina, mortality, 452,327 deaths in the U.S. in 2004. 1 out of every 5 deaths is from heart trouble. Incidents, 1.2 million new and recurrent coronary attacks per year. About 38% of people who experience a coronary attack in a given year die from it. 38%. Prevalence, 15,800,000 victims of angina, chest pain due to coronary heart disease, are still living. 8.5 million males, 7.2 million females. Estimates are that 8.9 million people in the United States suffer from angina, chest pains due to restricted blood flow. An estimated 400,000 new cases of stable angina occur each year. I think about this kind of thing. I think about when we talk about heart trouble. You say you may not have the physical kind of heart trouble, but you may have spiritual heart trouble. Relax. The doctor is in. Amen? The doctor's in. If you were going to the doctor and he was going to check you out for heart trouble, he would do so in three phases. That's the outline tonight. The outline is this. First of all, we need examination. Secondly, we need detection. And thirdly, as with any doctor, we need recommendation. So that's the outline tonight. Examination, detection, and recommendation. As a doctor who specializes in examining for spiritual heart trouble, let me examine you tonight in three different ways if I could. Let me examine, first of all, your look. See, Genesis 4, verses 5 and 6, and you know the story of Cain and Abel. The Bible says, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, for and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Brother Horsch, many times I can look at someone and know they've got spiritual heart trouble by the look on their face. You know, I know you folks have to endure me every week, but you have to see what I see sometime. I can tell there are some times when people have spiritual heart trouble. And by the way, there are those people that, like Dr. Malone. We used to kid with him all the time. "Dr. Malone, why don't you smile?" He'd say, "I am smiling." Amen? And that's just the way he was. Amen? But listen to me. Many times I can tell if someone has spiritual heart trouble just by the look on their face. Dr. Raymond Barber has a great little book called "Don't Look Now, But Your Attitude Is Showing." It's a great book. Amen. So the first part of the examination is your look. And it actually says right here in verse 13, "A merry heart maketh" what? "A cheerful countenance." Amen. A merry heart. Talks about having a continual feast. So we examine the look. The second thing we can easily examine to check for spiritual heart trouble is not only the look, but your lips. I don't mean I look at your lips. I mean out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen. I used to be a youth pastor. Many times on trips, Brother Boston, we'd have a van, 15, 16, sometimes more than that, teenagers in there. And I wouldn't say one word on the ride home. I was just because this verse, and it's Matthew 12:34, by the way, always comes true. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I could listen to teenagers and I could tell they had heart trouble. Amen? By the way, I could listen to adults sometimes and find out that they've got spiritual heart trouble. So what's our examination? We look at the look. We look at the lips. By the way, you talk about what's important to you. Amen? Some people say, sing the song, "I love to tell the story." Do you? When's the last time you told it? It's quiet. That's all right. Listen, it's not all right that it's quiet, but it's all right that we examine ourselves. We examine our lips. We have the look. We have the lips. The third part of the examination for spiritual heart trouble is your life. Where you go. What you watch. What you do. What you listen to, where you don't go. Amen? That tells a lot about your... By the way, your actions speak so loud that I can't hear a word you're saying. Amen. Our life always speaks louder than our lips. So it is with the life lived with spiritual heart trouble. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Your look and your lips and your life can usually tip off a trained spiritual doctor that there's some heart trouble there. So first we have the first step, examination. By the way, you don't need a preacher to do that for you. This can do it right here. And the Bible gives us the privilege, let a man examine himself. Bible gives us the privilege of self-examination. Amen. Every time that you and I partake of the Lord's Supper, we read that verse. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. I heard this week, just last week, this Sunday, a preacher in a place who will remain nameless had to resign his pulpit because of pornography. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. That is a result of no self-examination. Amen. We're supposed to keep short accounts with God. Amen. And by the way, lest you think I'm up here with my halo, it could happen to me like that if I stop examining myself. Amen? If I stop looking at my life in the mirror of this book instead of trying to get a new mirror. Psalms 139, 23. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. So the doctors examined you for spiritual heart trouble. After the examination comes the detection. This is a time of discussing warnings. Let me warn you today against three spiritual heart-troubling conditions. Beware of having, first of all, a damaged heart. My mother, years ago, I was at work and got a call that my mother had had heart failure in the dentist chair. And she was having an extensive gum surgery, tipped back like this. And my mom would be the first one to tell you she's a 40-year smoker. And that was the day she quit. Cold turkey. When you can't breathe, cigarettes don't become nearly as important. And we found out that day, we found out from the doctors, that every time a person has a heart attack, there's permanent damage done to the heart. And I want to caution you today about a damaged heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I almost wish our teenagers were in here tonight. Because you know what? A damaged heart can keep beating and it can heal, but there's always pain and a scar. That's why God tells us to keep our heart with all diligence. By the way, you don't have to have a damaged heart. I tell any young person, anyone worth dating better be marriage material. That's why I'm not for dating until you're 18, 20. I know my wife and I gone round and round about this. They're not dating until they can marry. Come on, amen, please. We don't need that stuff. It's foolishness. 12 years old, I got a girlfriend. Stop it. No, you don't. Your mom drove you. Amen? You don't have a girlfriend. Amen? Secondly, damaged heart. Secondly, beware of a weakened heart. Did you know that a person's heart can be weakened over time through improper care? By the way, lest I step on some Baptist toes tonight. This is why God told us in Proverbs 29:2, if we be given to appetite, it's better to put a knife to your throat. Because you know what it does when we're gluttonous? Amen. It damages the heart. It damages. And I know, listen, every Baptist preacher says, bless God, there's going to be biscuits and gravy in heaven. And I don't know if there is or there isn't. I know it won't hurt our hearts or anything like that. But it's okay to still push away from the table a little. I know, listen, I'm not winning friends and influence people tonight, I know. But listen, just like our heart can be physically weakened, our spiritual heart can be weakened through sinful habits, through too much television, too much time on the internet. Listen to me, I love sports, but too much time in sports. It's all we do, it's all we think about, it's all we discuss. I'll tell you what, it can lead to spiritual heart trouble. Remember this, anything you put before God's an idol. Anything. Including the big house. Help me, amen, church. Including the Boston Red Sox. Whatever it is. Listen, it can lead to a weakened heart. Jesus said, when he was asked, what's the first and great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. So not only beware of a damaged heart and beware of a weakened heart, but the last stage of detection, beware, if you could, of a hardened heart. A hardened heart. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Now listen to this, folks. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We're in the detection phase. A spiritually hardened heart is the result of disobedience to God. It's the result of resisting the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And it's a result of the deliberate rejection of God. And it can happen to any one of us. We can get a spiritually hard heart. Proverbs 29:1. He that oft being reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. God warns us against having a hard heart. Harden not your heart, Psalms 95:8, as in the provocation in the day of temptation. Proverbs 28:14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. We looked at our examination. I looked at your look, your lips, your life. Detection. We talked about bewaring of having a damaged heart, a weakened heart, a hardened heart. Now, third tonight, let's give some recommendation if we could. Let's give some recommendation. When the doctor gives you advice, he gives you some remedies or some ways to alleviate that heart trouble. By the way, these are recommendations for all. If you're here tonight and you've got a good, clean, pure, healthy heart, you would do well to heed these recommendations. First of all, proper diet. He's back on that again. You already hit gluttony, amen? Proper, I'm talking about proper spiritual diet. You see, we're systemic. What goes in is what we feed off of. And that's why, again, we've got some young ladies here, young people, you can't live on Twinkies and cupcakes. Now, I love them, personally. I wish I could live on them, but I can't. I've got to put some good fuel in. If I don't want to be worn out and tired and all that. If you have a damaged spiritual heart due to poor choices, you can repair it with good spiritual food. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Psalms chapter 19, verses 8 through 10. Job said in Job 23:12, in the midst of his calamity, he said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. See, if you're here today and you have heart trouble, you need to get back on that proper spiritual diet. Amen. Oh, get in this. Have this book for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Amen. Just get in it several times a day. I've been wanting to, and today I believe the Lord was prompting me to just develop a real... of course, we have our different Bible schedules, but an intense schedule. Talking about, yes, Proverbs every day. Yes, several Psalms every day. I'd like to read the Gospels every day. Just keep reading the Gospels through. Why? Good food. Good food. Amen. Good food. By the way, that'll give me good energy. Give me a good burden for people. If you eat that good food. So proper spiritual diet. You know what else we need? Just like when we go to the heart doctor, he's going to tell you proper exercise. Some of you walk and walk and walk and walk. That's good, amen. If you have a weakened spiritual heart due to feasting on the world's junk food, you need to repair it with some good spiritual exercise. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." Just as those with physical heart trouble must exercise physically by walking or running or doing free weights or cardio, those with spiritual heart trouble, those seeking to avoid spiritual heart trouble, can exercise by praying, by living right, by resisting the devil, by sharing their faith with others. Amen? It's good exercise. It's good spiritual exercise. So what are our recommendations? Proper diet. Proper exercise. Let me give you the last one tonight in closing. Proper rest. The last week that I was in Bible college, for me at age 25, 26, 27, 29, we all know that's not old. Somebody please say amen. You seniors better be saying amen and waving a flag, amen. That's not old, amen. But when you're 29 and everyone around you is 19, you feel pretty old. The last week of Bible college, I'll never forget it. This guy came in, Brother Boston, and he preached on getting proper rest. And I almost punched him in the nose. I said, "Where were you 4 years ago when I needed you?" Amen. But you know, it's true. We do need proper rest, don't we? Physically, we need proper rest. You know what Jesus said? He said, "Come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." As Vance Havner said, if you don't come apart and rest, you'll just come apart. Amen. Just as those with physical heart trouble must rest, as Mama Howland told us tonight, from stress and the cares of this world, those with spiritual heart trouble, or those seeking to avoid it, must rest spiritually by, first of all, believing the promises of this book. We can rest in the promises of this book. Thank God, amen. I feel so bad as you watch people that you know they have a lost loved one that's died, or they themselves are lost, and they're going through trials and difficulty. And by the way, it does rain on the just and the unjust, amen. The lost people get cancer just like Christians do. And I feel so bad for them because they have no rest. Boy, I'll tell you, when you believe this book, there's rest here. We can rest in these promises. We can not only rest in believing the promises of God, we can rest in coming to the house of God. I'll tell you what this place is, what this room is. It's a sanctuary. First of all, it's sanctified for the preaching of the gospel, not rock bands. It's sanctified for the worship of Jesus Christ. But a sanctuary is a place that we can go to rest. To be set apart from the filth and the plan and the program and the cares of the world. Listen, I know some of you tonight are carrying heavy burdens. You know what you need? You need to come here and rest. Rest. Oh, by the way, that's not just inactivity. Rest isn't always inactivity. But boy, sometimes we just need rest. And we get it by believing the promises of God, by coming to the house of God, by hearing the Word of God preached. The Bible says, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and ye shall find rest for your souls." How many times have you heard a message out of the Word of God and it just ministered to you? You are come in and you've got the burdens and the cares of life, and a preacher would stand up there and preach the Word of God, and God and Holy Spirit would minister to you. By the way, that's where Paul put the preeminence on Christ, but on preaching Christ. Read 1 Corinthians 1. Please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Believing the promises of God. Coming to the house of God. Hearing the Word of God. I love this last one. Fellowshipping with the people of God. I feel sometimes my wife and I, my wife is so busy on Sundays, and she likes it that way, by the way. So you don't have to come up to her and say, I'll do that, and I'll do that, and I'll do that. She loves teaching her Sunday school class. She loves doing Mighty Church. She loves those, loves singing in the choir. But sometimes when we have people over on Sunday, I feel like, boy, that's a burden. That's a full day. But I'll tell you what, I'm always blessed, and I know my wife would agree with me, when we have fellowship with God's people, whatever day of the week it is. Amen. If it's Thursday and you have somebody over for lunch, if it's Friday dinner over at your house, or popcorn at pastor's, amen, just fellowshipping with God's people. You know why? It'll help us to rest. We can rest. You know, at work, many times you're the only one. You're the only Christian. You're the only one standing for God. By the way, sometimes we can develop Elijah syndrome about that. When you're not the only one, there's another one. But sometimes it's just fact. I remember there was one little girl that I worked with. She's not a little girl anymore. She's a mother of three. But she, where I was working, I was the only Christian. And then she came, and she was an apostolic Christian, a wonderful young lady. And it was me and her, and I said to her, we're the bookends. We're the bookends keeping evil out. Trying to win these people, trying to reach these people. Boy, how important it is then when we fellowship with the people of God. You know why? Because we're a peculiar people. In more ways than one. But especially the way God meant it. We're different than the world. We're no better than they are. But we're different because God has sanctified us and separated us. Heart trouble. Heart trouble. What's it take? Well, first of all, it's going to take examination. Examine your look. Do people have to walk on eggshells around you? You might have heart trouble. Yeah. Amen? Examine your lips. What do you talk about? Examine your life. What is important to you? I've learned that we can talk a lot about soul winning, but never go soul winning. Amen? We could talk about passing out gospel tracts, but never do it. Your life will show whether or not you have spiritual heart trouble. So examination, the look, the lips, the life. Detection, beware of having a damaged heart. Beware of having a weakened heart. Beware of having a hardened heart. And then what's the recommendation? The doctor's in. Proper diet. Amen? Proper diet, the Word of God. Proper exercise, doing what the Word of God says. And then proper rest. Rest in believing God's promises. Rest in coming to the house of God. Rest in hearing the Word of God preached. Rest in fellowshipping with the people of God. By the way, the word for church most oft used in the New Testament is the Greek word ekklesia. It means a called out assembly. We're to be called out from the world to come together, rest, gather our strength so we can go back out and try to reach those people. Heart trouble. Father, we love you.